Welcome to Women in Venture Capital. I'm Rushvina, Chief of Staff at General Catalyst, with prior experience in finance and early stage VC.
And I'm Anvita, Senior Product Manager at UiPath with experiences across tech startups and venture capital. Our mission at Women in Venture Capital is simple: increase the representation of women in the VC industry through awareness and engagement.
So join us as we engage with women, establishing their presence in the industry.
Our guest today is Priya Saiprasad. Priya is the co-founder and general partner at Turing Capital, a VC firm investing in AI-powered B2B software companies at the early growth stages. Priya has years of experience in venture capital. Prior to Turing, she was partner at SoftBank Investment Advisors, investing in mid to growth stage software applications. She has venture experience at Mayfield Fund, M12, Microsoft's Venture Fund, and Saints Capital. Early in her career, she also worked in corporate development at Square. Thank you so much for joining us today, Priya. It's a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Jumping right in, unlike many of our guests on the show who have worked in operating roles or finance or other sectors before venture capital, we noticed that you've gotten into venture pretty early. Can you tell us why you were interested in VC at such an early stage of your career and how you positioned yourself early on in the industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the one interesting thing about VC is there's no archetype of an ideal VC. You come from a variety of different paths. And I actually started my career post-college. I went to Cal and I started my career in the, I jokingly say, the dark world of investment banking. I started it in leveraged finance and restructuring. So it was definitely on the opposite end of venture. Instead of super high growth companies, it was more stable, mature companies that we were looking at. So I knew almost right away that I wanted to be at the height of innovation, especially to see a company at its starting stages really create a vision, create a roadmap, create a go-to-market strategy and scale versus being towards the end part of the journey. And so with that in mind, I knew that investment banking, probably at least at the leveraged finance side, wasn't necessarily a long-term home for me. And I started thinking more about venture as a career at that point because it gives you so much exposure into startups that are a little bit more, I would say, innovation-driven, entrepreneurial. And it's also really fascinating to me how an entrepreneur's journey in general is putting all their eggs in one basket into a startup, right? Versus a VC's journey is actually you have a diversification inherently built into your portfolio. Or if you're working for a large company, you know, you have the stability associated with that. But it's so fascinating to me that an entrepreneur truly believes so much in the vision, mission of the company that they're building, that they're willing to stake it all on the line. And that was something that truly fascinated me. So I'd say, however, my path into traditional venture was a little bit unorthodox because I was also at Square and I worked at Square. At the time, Square was pre-IPO. They hadn't IPO'd yet. They were still very, I would say, earlier stage, about 400 employees at the time when I joined. And by the time I left, it was over 2,000 employees. And so it was a great time to actually be a part of a very high growth, innovation focused startup with an incredible executive leadership team. So it was great to observe that internally, be part of that, see some of the strengths, weaknesses, the challenges, how everyone overcame that, and then use that to inform me on what I want to do next. So I actually think Square was my main foray into knowing that I wanted to do venture. And I did M&A and corporate development for Square. So we ended up acquiring a bunch of companies that would help accelerate Square's roadmap. And so with that in mind, I ended up actually partnering with a lot of VCs who are on the cap table of these companies selling their stake, right? So I ended up getting a lot of exposure to the venture capital side of the house and knew that that was something that really sparked my attention because instead of seeing one company do amazing things, I would have access to unlimited learnings of a bunch of different startups.
Thank you for sharing that. What a great story, really seeing Square from 400 to 1,200 people. And it's really interesting. I was talking to an undergrad right before this podcast and, you know, giving advice that, you know, one of the best experiences to have before VC or to see what VC looks like is to maybe be in a high growth company and just see what it looks like from that side. and then maybe explore what the other side could look like for you. So, thanks for sharing that. And like I said in my intro, you've been at a few funds, mostly focused on mid to growth stage companies. And I'm just really curious what some of your biggest learnings have been as an investor.
Ooh, that is a good question. So many. So I've always, as you mentioned, I've always focused on, I'd say, mid-stage growth, or as I like to call it, early growth, because you've got the seed and series A focused firms that are predominantly people focused bets that you're making and large category bets. And then you've got the super late stage folks that are call it Series D and above, where it's very financial metrics driven and it's very data driven at that stage. And I particularly love the early stage, and I figured out over time that I love that stage because it actually blends a little bit of both, where it's still very important. It's still so founder focused. It's still so focused on the team and the ability to hire and the ability to scale that team. It's also so focused on, if you're creating a new category, what does the texture of that category look like? What do buyers expect out of that category? Who else is in the category? All of that. And then there's also some customers, there's data, there's numbers. So I do like having that as well. But the perfect blend of gut and analytical is something that I love in this stage. And so what I've realized over time, in terms of a couple of learnings, founder first is just such an people first, founder first is just such an important term that I used to think was so overused because every VC loves saying they're people first or founder first. But it's so important because you are essentially betting on this person or set of folks, if it's a bunch of co-founders, their ability to identify a problem, fully scope out that problem, eventually build an entire business and scale it based on that problem, and be able to grow with that business over time. So the ability to be hungry, intellectually curious, the ability to want to learn and scale yourself with the business is actually a very fascinating thing that I've learned. No entrepreneur at the end of a 6 year or 7 year company journey ever looks the same as they did when they started, and that growth is pretty phenomenal to see.
That makes a lot of sense. We see that Turing is a fairly recent fund. I think you started it about less than a year back. How did you decide on starting your own fund? And can you share more about your investment thesis at Turing Capital?
Absolutely. So, I'd be lying if I said it was always my dream to start a venture capital firm since I was XYZ years old.
Sometimes the
That's what,
stars align.
yeah, exactly, right. But what is interesting is I've had a privilege and an opportunity to be part of three really, really awesome different venture platforms. And each of them had some amazing strengths associated with them. And I've learned a lot from them. And I felt finally that I was at a stage in my career where I want to build something of my own. It was almost having worked with entrepreneurs so much as a board member, as an investor with them. I wanted to be able to build something myself from scratch. I also wanted to be able to rethink venture and take the best elements of each platform in the past and sort of recreate a new age venture firm that's really collaborative, that's incredibly hardworking, and that's really fun at the same time, where it's this collaborative ecosystem. And to bring that to the early growth stage, usually the more you go up on the growth spectrum, it starts to become a little bit more dry, I would say. But we wanted to bring that collaborative early stage mindset to, I would say, early growth. And so that was what got me really excited. But having said that, I would not have done it if I didn't have my two partners who are pretty phenomenal, because actually one of them has been my greatest mentor over my career so far. I've worked with him across two different platforms now, and Turing would be our third platform, but this time building something together from scratch. And so the other learning to your earlier question is, gosh, how important people are that you work with in this business, right? And And, there's so many different type of people and who you get along with, someone who challenges you, someone who's high integrity, and someone that brings in a very different perspective and pushes your thinking forward in a different direction. And that's been my mentor the entire time. So the ability to get to start a firm with him from scratch was, it just made this such a no-brainer.
And to just double click on that, what is the fund focused on right now? Are you guys looking at, specific sectors or thematics that are trends that you're excited about?
So I would say we are exclusively focused on investing in AI-enabled software. And when we looked at the three of our track records in the past and where we've seen the most amount of success and returns, we've seen them, we've caught the first wave of software over time, and we were able to make some really interesting bets there. We then caught the second wave of software over time as well and make some interesting bets there. And now we're at a very interesting inflection point where we're at the precipice of a third wave of software that's very, very informed by advancements in AI. It's also very informed by the buyer in an enterprise fundamentally changing. The new age buyer in an enterprise, actually by 2025, almost 80% of enterprises will consist of millennials and Gen Z. So they are actually purchasing software, and their expectations out of software, I will say, is fundamentally different than that of the generations prior. So with that sort of culmination, there is such a unique opportunity that the third wave of software presents itself. So we wanted to take what we've done well in the past and double down in this new wave. So that's why it's AI-enabled software. And we're also almost exclusively focused at the Series B and I would say early Series C stage. So companies with roughly about 3 to 10 million of revenues, because there's a little bit of scale, there's some customers, there's repeatability of the business model, but it's still a long-term category bet. They're still in early stages of category creation. It's still a team bet at the end of the day. And so that we find that we think we're very good at based on our prior track record, and we also enjoy it the most. So that is another part of our strategy. And I'd say the final part is, a large part of our investing will be in North America. But outside of that, we'll also be investing in select geographies globally where we've also had success in the past. So that's Australia, India, and some parts of Europe. That is why we're called Touring Capital. We will ideally tour the world to identify the best and brightest entrepreneurs.
That sounds amazing. And kudos on having launched the fund. Good luck on how you grow the fund, and keep making investments.
We're still in the early innings, so I'm crossing fingers.
Amazing. Shifting gears a little bit, given your years of experience in the industry, what have been some of your experiences and observations on gender dynamics in this ecosystem? Have you seen any change?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've been in this industry for 13, 14, actually, wow. It's 2024, so 14 years now. And I will say there has been change that I've seen over time, first and foremost. The change has not come at the pace that I would have loved for it to come at. And I still don't think we're in a state where it's anywhere close to being even or anywhere close to that. I don't think we're there. What I will say is when I was at Square, this is why I think Square was such a pivotal point in my career, because I saw things that I wouldn't have even realized was possible if I wasn't there. Because when I was at Square at the time, the C-suite of Square was 50-50 split between women and men. And I will actually argue that the women executives tended to be in roles that were a little bit more male dominated. So our CTO, our CFO, all were women and were incredible, high performing, high achieving women. So it was very inspiring to see that for me, because I knew that was possible. And I almost didn't think gender dynamics were a thing at that point, because Square was such an incredible startup where, and now large company. It's actually Block now, but it was such a great place to grow up in, so to speak. So I got to see that firsthand. And then when I came into venture from there, I realized, oh my God, what is happening? I go to board meetings, and most of the times I'm the only woman in the room. And most of the times I also tend to be the younger person in the room as well. So there's the dynamic of gender, there's a dynamic of age. So, and there's also the dynamic of my personality is quite different than a lot of other VCs. So there's that as well. So it's a trifecta, if you will. And I will say, initially coming into it, it was hard. It was hard to feel like the other in a room, right? You're in a board meeting or you're in a partnership meeting, and you just know that everyone else there doesn't have your experiences. They're very different from you. They have shared experiences in their life that they can bond over that I necessarily couldn't. But I actually worked with an executive coach, and I worked a lot with my mentor, honestly, and a few other folks. I've been blessed with a great mentor bench. And after working with them, I realized this is actually a massive strength. To be honest, to be the person in a room that is so different from everyone else, because inherently my perspective is going to be super differentiated. I don't even have to think about how do I add value with my comments. They always are different than whatever someone else says in the room. And I think about perspectives very differently. My background, actually, before college, I grew up all over the world. So my global mindset comes into play as well. And so I honed into the fact that it's a strength. I'm going to lean into this and grow into my power, so to speak. And that helped me tremendously with my own journey over time, because now I sometimes don't even realize that I'm still the only woman in a lot of these rooms, but I don't realize it anymore. And it's almost I've come to peace with it in a different way. So that was my kind of evolution of the journey. The second part of it is, someone once told me that it's really hard to be the only woman in any room, right? Then if you have two women, if you have three women, and you're slowly growing that ratio, it's so much better. So, the way we think about hiring and the way we think about the portfolio companies that we invest in, we want to make sure that we are being as inclusive as possible, and we are taking an active role in stopping some of these sort of networked stereotypes over time. Because with venture, the way you source deals tends to be from your own network, and you tend to source deals based on patterns that you've seen do well in the past. So if you ended up investing in a bunch of male entrepreneurs in the past, for instance, they generated you a bunch of capital, you sort of look for personality types that are similar to that, and you source them from networks that are similar to your networks. So it tends to be somewhat clicky in that sense. And that's actually one thing that I really, really want to break the mold of with touring and go above these networks. I want to find the folks who are outsiders and back them.
I think it's fair to say that Square was, kind of spoiled you a little bit right before you went into an industry where you had to face a very different dynamic, but also kudos to them for, getting that part as a growing, fast growing company. And I agree with you. I think there is a general recruiting improvement, at least at the junior level. We are seeing, I saw a lot of promotions last year. The market was rough and just generally it was a little harder, but also the mindset change is very much there. The pace is very slow, and hoping that not only from the investor side, but also just female founders, really, like those statistics are way worse. I hope that does get better over time. Priya, this has been such a good conversation. I want to end the podcast with a question that we ask all of our guests, and that one is, what advice do you have for aspiring female investors?
I have to say, in order to see success in an industry that is still not the most female-friendly industry out there, I mean, of course, things are changing. It is so important to have that tribe of mentors and tribe of sponsors, and to actively go out and seek your personal board of directors that you design for yourself. Without that, I genuinely don't think I would be where I am today, and I wouldn't have been able to rise in the unique way that I have. And it's so important to also make sure that those mentors are quite diverse in their perspectives, right? With different backgrounds and different set of experiences, because they'll help point things out to you that you don't even realize at certain pivotal moments in your career. And some of the advice that I've had over time, I've been so blessed because it made me do at the time some interesting moves that wasn't obvious, but in the end it ended up playing out so well looking back on it. So I would say actively surrounding yourself with that trusted network and nurturing that trusted network of personal advisors.
I love this concept of a personal board. I might steal it at some point. It's great and it's true. Priya, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Of course, thank you again for having me. It was such a pleasure.